everyone, it's me, Jordan Quiverns, your GM slash host slash wingman of this podcast. I'm just popping in before the show starts to let you know that my internet started dying at the end of this episode, and that is why it is the way it is. Yeah, it just ends somewhat abruptly, so sorry about that, but it's still a very fun episode. And it leads into some more treats. We've been having some fun ones lately. They're always fun. It's a pretty good podcast. You should check it out. While I'm here, I will want to let you know that I appreciate you listening. And also that Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people in grave danger. Further content warnings can be found in the description. Enjoy! Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Spar and Vellum arrived at the walled city of Stoneloft, only for their companions Josepha, Ishbala, and Sorrel to be whisked away by the magical providence in Pandemonium. When they tried to enter the city, they were refused by the city guard, who Spar deduced were soldiers from the past. After determining that they hadn't been sent back in time, Vellum contacted his uncle's child, Max, who lives within the city, only to be greeted by someone claiming to be none other than Callan Vellum himself. This mysterious other Vellum offered to help them get into the city. With mysteries abounding and their work cut out for them, the agents prepared to enter Stoneloft and see what other curiosities await.
You are at the side of Stoneloft. I almost said Vossa Natura. That's so incorrect. You're at the side of Stoneloft. There's like a cliff face and then a wall at the top of the cliff face. And beyond, from above that wall, come many, many ropes tied together.
If I remember right, other Vellum, who I'm going to call Harrington, told us that they were going to help us over the side by an altar to the gambler.
Yes, correct. So that is on in the city.
Okay. I thought the altar was outside. Okay. Nope. I'm with you.
Yeah. A rope comes over the side, and then shortly thereafter, a second rope comes over the side, and trying to think of something to help Vellum up specifically.
If they send down a couple, then I'm sure they could figure out, like, Spar and Vellum could figure out a harness sort of situation, like a rope climbing harness.
Smart.
I was also thinking, like, could they, like, tie knots in a way that, like, Vellum could step into a loop? And then, like, if Spar's already at the top, he can help pull Vellum up, kind of thing.
Hold on, I'm gonna have a V2 here flip to see how good of a situation they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you did it to Agent Vellums.
It's all real. All right, that's three successes and a joker. So they throw the first rope down, and they throw the second rope down, which is much fancier. It does have like a harness at the bottom. And a bunch of loops in it for footholds, but it also has it also gets caught on an uneven part of the rock wall and does not quite slide all the way down to the bottom to where you are.
That's fine, because Spar is going to send Merafina up first.
Yeah, she could take care of herself.
Yeah, and he's making a Vellum sandwich here because he's pretty sure Merafina will do what she can to protect Vellum if something happens while Spar is still scrambling up. And also, you know, it's Merafina. She'll be fine. So that's why he's sending her up first into the unknown.
All right, let me flip Merafina rock climbing. I think she'll be just fine because she flipped a Three of Hearts, which is the name of the podcast. All right, Merafina got six successes on climbing.
God damn, Merafina.
So can that be Merafina gets up and also donates some successes to helping Vellum up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does she go spelunking in her free time?
Well, no, but she is part god.
I mean, that's true.
We did talk about her being in Sullen Spade. I don't know. Like, maybe she's spelunking down there, just rappelling down the crack in the middle of Clovenheart.
Girl can have some hobbies. She could do some spelunking as a treat. Hashtag girly things.
Merafina definitely has like a useless wizard staff that she carries around.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom is pointed and she's able to use it as like a rock climbing implement as she works her way up the side of this mountain.
Sure.
Like a python.
Yeah, like a python, exactly. And she makes it up with really extreme ease. And helps Vellum up and is actually able to, while climbing herself, like pull Vellum up when attached to the harness with one hand.
Spar mutters show off under his breath.
You know, Spar would have done it too if he'd climbed up first.
Not with one hand. Jesus.
As she's climbing, she like kind of gets Vellum up to her level. She says, "Normally, I do not use my extra mortal abilities to aid mortals, but you have recently become incredibly important, so you get an exception."
He looks at her and is just like, "Thank you."
It wasn't intended as a kindness, and she continues to bring you up.
He nods. This is what he expected, you know, like, but he also figured it would not be bad to say thanks, you know, like.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Don't want to be rude.
Look, I'll tell you, Merafina appreciated it.
Good.
And what's Spar doing?
Spar's going to climb the rope the old fashioned way.
All right. Give me Brawn Athletics.
Brawn is 3, athletics is 2, so that's 5. Healthy makes 6.
Mm-hmm.
1 success.
1?
1.
Okay.
Can Vellum flip something to try to help him?
Absolutely. Same flip, Brawn athletics.
Okay. 2 for Brawn. Nothing for athletics, 1 for healthy. Let me write down for body and mind. Did a brawn. Okay. I got an ace and a joker.
Okay. Okay, for an ace, you're able to help Spar the rest of the way up. For the Joker, you pull him up over the side and you bonk each other in the head as you help him get up. And it's not harmful. It's just actually, it's kind of cute, but it is painful.
Mm-hmm.
For both of you.
That smarted a little.
Spar dusts himself off and looks around.
Yeah, so you find yourself on top of a stone building, and it has like a dome-shaped roof that you were on the outside of.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lip around the edge of the dome. Also standing on this lip is Merafina, mm-hmm. and Vellum, and an individual none of you recognize. Most certainly not Callan Vellum or Callan Harrington. Unless they are Callan Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any familial features?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I don't think you have to flip for this. So they are a chubby, kind of like darkish skin individual. And I would assume Vellum has seen photos of Naomi Sandoval, the mm-hmm. were-lion who killed his parents. Definitely similar skin tone and features, but definitely has Gray's nose.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They look at you, Vellum, and they're like, this is too weird. I mean, I didn't believe it, but you look exactly like me.
Vellum tilts his head a little bit in a sort of like, and he looks to Spar to see, like, is Spar seeing the same person that he's seeing? Yeah. Like,
yeah, Spar is.
Spar is also question mark hours out from possibly having betrayed his sister forever, who he's now trying to save. And so it's pretty single-mindedly. It just, like, sticks his hand out, says, hi, Merim Felspar, can you help us get to the third level of this place? We need to, my rescue mission.
He shakes your hand and says, wait, like the archive?
Yes, if that's what it's called. Yes, that. Mm-hmm.
We can't just go to him. We can't just go to the archive.
Why not?
It's magically forbidden. Like, you need approval from either the archivist themselves, who almost certainly won't give it to you, or you need stamps from, well, three different leaders in the city. Specifically, the Arms of Alma. You need the head librarian. And you also need the Gatineau family. So they all have to sign off on your approval to enter the archives.
What if I don't do that?
You simply cannot enter the archive.
How close can I get?
I mean, I've never tried. So I don't know. Well, let me see. Well, actually, hold on. This is the game with cards. Let me flip. Two successes and a joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, you can get to the third layer up the staircase, no problem. But if you so much as even try to look in a window, you're up. You, I mean, I hear that you could lose your eyesight. It's just, it's not wise.
What do you mean, lose your eyesight?
Like a flash of light would emit so bright that you can't you go blind.
How do we get this archivist person to meet with us?
They only really talk to the head librarian. That'd be Serf Bronson.
How do I talk to the head librarian?
I guess you go to the library. It's the middle of the night. They might be there, but I can't guarantee that.
All right. Point me in the direction.
Yeah, no problem. They do that, which is, you guys are on the first layer right now. So they say it's up on the second layer. Do you want me to take you there?
That would be wonderful, unless you have any better ideas. And that's addressed to all three other people. So I'm also including Mirafina and Vellum.
V2 says,
why is he V2 when his name is Cowlin Harrington?
Fine. Harrington says, I do have one other thought, which is Sanguinea's in town right now. So if you talk to Sam, you might probably can get anything you want.
It'd be lovely to talk to Sanguinea. They were who we were trying to contact first before coming into the city.
Is Vellum lying on purpose?
Oh, wait. Sanguinea is the one that
died.
Jack. Yeah.
So yeah, Sanguinea is dead.
We were looking for Sanguinea's partner, whose name is
Gladia.
Gladia.
Harrington will say, well, I could take you to Gladia as well.
I don't know that that was out loud.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me start over. We were hoping to talk to Gladia. Are they with Sanguinea?
As your keeper, but most likely.
That would be useful as well.
Mm-hmm. Out of character, would Sanguinea have known Spar's parents?
Probably. Anyone who was important in the war probably knew Spar's parents.
Yeah, good and great. It's nice when that's genuinely useful, though. So Spar nods and is like, yes, actually, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Harrington will nod and say, are you going to tell me at all what's going on?
Honestly and frankly, both. I'm not sure what's going on, but as soon as I figure it out, I would be happy to share.
They walk up and they like pinch Vellum's cheek. And they're like, well, I mean, you have my face, so you probably are me from the future or something.
It's possible.
Are they even the same height?
No. I'm going to say that Harrington is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And says, and then Merafina actually taps her staff on the roof of the building you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And says, Merim could also speak, well, the both of you, the three of us, I suppose, could also consult the gambler. The goddesses tend to not talk much to mortals, but I think that between the three of us, we could probably get an audience.
Vellum nods like this is a normal thing to say.
Spar, who was also having this thought, squints at Merafina a little bit like, are you trying to get me killed? And then a little bit like, well, but it's not bad odds. Is there a window he can like Indiana Jones his way down through?
Sorry, what are you referencing specifically?
Instead of like climbing safely down from the top of this building and entering through a front door, is there a window he can just like shimmy through like from starting from the roof?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead and give me agility athletics, I think, to do what you're trying to do.
Sure. Agility is 3 and athletics is 2. So that's 5 and healthy is 6. I would like to say that Essa would wait and like gather everybody and make sure that everybody gets where they're going and ask Harrington, can we help you in response? Spar is not emotionally there right now.
Yeah. Valid.
So I am fully aware he's being kind of a dick. That is 2 successes and 3 of hearts, name of the podcast.
Nice.
For a total of 5.
Nice. Yeah, so you're able to shimmy down, and this building is not in the best repair in the world. I mean, mm-hmm. It's made of stone, it's sturdy, it's not like crumbling or anything,
mm-hmm.
But the window in question is, it's super dusty. You're gonna have to, like, probably break some glass to get in. If you're okay with doing that, you mm-hmm. do so unharmed, okay? You kick up a bunch of dust. You're in like a crossbeam on the roof, essentially, looking down over a pretty standard looking like church situation. I'm gonna say it's not standard. Instead of like how you would see like in like a, you know, like a Christian church or whatever, like where there's the rows of pews and then something at the front.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a 4-way like cross section of chairs where the stage is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
At the stage in the middle is not a lectern or anything like that. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But is a table with cards and dice.
Is anyone else in here?
Empty.
So Spar calls through the window. It's empty. We're good.
Harrington's like, okay, but what if we can't do what you just did?
I'll meet you at the door.
Oh, okay.
Can Vellum look around and see if he can find a safe route to get to where Spar is?
There is a ladder at the side of the building that presumably Hal Harrington got up here.
Mm.
He kind of notes your little leg and is like, can you get down this okay?
I think so.
Okay.
If someone can hold on to it just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. Oh, no flips or anything necessary. You all get down. Merafina follows suit and says, well, no, never mind. She wouldn't say anything. She would just head in. Does everyone head in?
Before Spar lets anybody else in, is it like locked from the inside?
Yes. There is like a wooden cross beam over the door.
So before Spar lets other people in, He's going to drop to the ground as safely as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a place where usually one prays in these sorts of places? Is there like a...
Well, go ahead. Finish your sentence.
What I would like to do is I would like Spar to make a small prayer before he lets anybody else in. Just like a quick, okay. like a 2-second thing, but like in a private way, basically.
Sure. I will say there is like a side room,
mm-hmm.
where there's like a little statue of the gambler who is like a pretty, looks almost like Three Musketeer ass looking person.
Mm-hmm.
And with like a feathered cap and everything. And yeah, when you close the door of this room, it is like basically soundproof outside.
Mm. I think Spar won't fully close the door because he's just ducking in here for truly 1 second.
Yeah, yeah.
But he will like swipe the dice off of the main table and duck into the like side prayer room.
Uh-huh.
Throw the dice in what I assume is some kind of dice tray, dice box. I'm guessing that this is like part of gambler worship is like.
Yeah, love it.
Throw some dice and says to the statue, look, Providence and Pandemonium is fucking with cards and it's fucking my life up for one. But for two, it's made me terrified of cards. So I would really appreciate if we could work together on this one.
Love it.
Very good.
I'm going to virtually roll 2d6 if that's OK.
Yeah, go for it.
OK.
Unless you want me to roll dice. I have dice. I could roll them.
That's more satisfying. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I have to roll away from my desk, but I'll be back in 1 second.
All right.
Okay. Da-da. Crack open my little box. All right. Uh-huh. 2d6?
Yep.
Get my little black cat shaped dice tray.
Oh, wait. We're going to roll dice on 3 of hearts? This is fucked up.
I know. Is that legal? Nobody tell Kevin. Okay. Well, that's a 1 and a 5.
Okay. That's all 6. Right. It's decent.
Not quite the 2 extremes, but like close.
Yeah. You hear a whisper in the back of your mind, Spar,
mm-hmm.
that says, split down the middle, eh?
That's me.
And... there is like a strange rustling sound that you cannot make out the source of. And it suddenly feels like someone is in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear anything magical. You don't see any sign that anyone's in the room with you, but you do feel another presence in this room.
Is Spar's sword doing anything?
Yeah, probably. Spar's sword is just glowing like a soft pink.
Sure. He turns around in a circle as if like looking for that person, not in a like, where are you way, but in a like, I want to face you if you want to talk to me kind of way.
Uh-huh. You hear, it's interesting. You don't, you're not a god, X, but you smell like one. And you don't see anything still.
Sure, yeah. Is the sound coming sort of from all around or from a place?
All around.
Okay. So Spar like picks up a reasonable point to talk at where a person might or might not be. It's like, well, turns out my mom was one. And also, I guess that makes other goddesses interested. I've kind of been, I guess, hanging out with some. So.
You're Thaumatera's little miracle, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
Well, go bring your little boyfriend in and we'll have a chat.
It's not that little, Spar says, but he goes to do what the fucking Godix tells him to. He does, in fact, I think he even does like a little salute, like a, not in a mocking way, but in a like, yep, I heard you, I'm going to go do what you said. Way, like a yep.
Yeah.
And he goes to unbar the door.
All right.
Velop and Spar just being part of the Godix gossip route is pretty great. Just imagining, like, Godix's, you know, like, the Gambler and Thaumatera or Sueleno. or whoever else is there and just like eating their popcorn. Like, are they going to kiss yet? Or.
All right. Does Spar just invite Vellum inside?
He invites everybody into like the building.
Okay.
And bars it again behind them.
Okay. And
I was gonna ask, does anybody have anything to say? Because if not,
well, Merafina's not gonna say anything. Merafina's gonna come in as little as she possibly can.
Sure.
Harrington's like fascinated and just kind of like looking around.
Yeah, Vellum's also looking around.
My question is, have I given a color to the gambler? I can't remember. I should write this down sometime.
You should. I don't remember. I could go either way. I don't remember Svar prayed to the gambler.
Who were the four that we prayed to before? Thaumatera, Kronoshava, Swereno, and
Sengrena.
Yeah, so not gambler. So I think you are safe on color.
Cool. Yep. I think that gambler is a, like, is a, no, purple's taken.
A blue or a green, maybe?
I feel like we already have a light green and a dark green, but there's only so many colors. Do. Yeah, dark green is. The only one I
remember is pink and brown.
Mm-mm.
And I think red and orange, silvery sort of color is open.
Ooh, I like silvery. Silvery. Yeah, almost like a traditional ghost, but with a little bit more, with like more color in there, a little silver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the vision of the gambler appears sitting atop with legs swinging off the table in the middle of the room.
Cool.
Spar nudges Vellum and says they want to talk to, I don't know if us or just you, but congratulations, welcome. I'm sorry.
You've been accepted into the special club for special boys.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think Spar would say this, so this is essay out of character. Yeah, you're part of the Velspar family now, I guess.
I guess so.
But yeah, so Spar will like go over to the gambler with Vellum.
Yeah, Vellum will walk with him, maybe squeeze Spar's hand at some point. Feeling a little bit nervous, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Merafina looks like relieved to not have to come any further into the room. When you come up to the table, it's like a chair on either side of the table. And they gesture for you to sit at either of them, like across from each other.
Mm-hmm. Spar pulls out the closer one for Vellum.
Oh. Vellum will sit.
And the gambler sits like now like cross-legged on the table in a way that like they can look at like either of you easily and says, we should talk. We are talking.
I'm listening.
Yes. So it's a pleasure to meet both of you. I am a connoisseur of the unexpected, you might say. And let me just say, I did not have either of what's going on with you two on my bingo card. I, in a strange way, you've become two mortal avatars of the same Godex, is maybe the simplest way to put it. Which, I mean, look, it doesn't mean much. Neither of you has had your awakening or whatever, so you don't have access to anything particularly neat in terms of God magic. But it does let you communicate with us, which is interesting.
Vellum's eyes are just real big right now, like, what the fuck?
And they say, I want to apologize because... you are in a whole mess with Providence and Pandemonium.
That's for damn sure.
Yes. I'll just be straight with you. This city has, for all intents and purposes, completely fallen to Bridge.
Ah.
I can't see very far outside of my, you know, outside the radius of my followers, my temples. So I don't know exactly what's going on out there, but I know it's not good. And Providence and Pandemonium used to be one god called Prosperity. And they were my lover. And I think I was not good for them. Now they have this strange and dangerous worldview. And they want it to spread like a virus.
Like a plague?
Sure. Yes. And I will help in my way. But even for a goddess interacting with mortals, my powers are especially limited. If you want some sort of boon from me, I want to grant it to you. However, there's going to be a challenge involved. And it may not turn out the way you want. But if you ask me for literally anything at all, I will do my best to get it for you. One time.
One boon each or one boon together?
Together.
Mm.
Like I said, as far as the goddesses are concerned, you two are may as well be one person right now.
Great.
Is this a limited time offer?
Well, you're going to need to be near me. So I guess while you're in Stoneloft, but I don't.
Okay.
You can think about it.
Vellum's just dealing with someone called the Gambler, so he wants to put all his cards on the table.
So to speak.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Can you offer us anything that helps us directly fight against Providence and Pandemonium?
In what way?
Well, the times that we've interacted with them, no one's died yet, but
mm-hmm.
they took my sister.
Vellum makes like a kind of sound and looks at Spar's sword.
Spar does not consider, like, if anything, his sword has become more alive. And so, like, that is, to him, that's okay. Not death. To him, that is the opposite. And he is, you know, having some mixed feelings about that, honestly. But yes, he would not agree with the assessment that it died. I, essay, might, but.
Okay, go ahead.
So Spar says, they have my sister. Also, they're, like, fucking up my hometown, Marafina's. Two, he gestures at Marafina and isn't sure whether to say Maceto, and then figures, goddess to goddess, they'll figure it out.
Even just something that would help us interact with the cards safely. Vellum's remembering the time when Spar destroyed one of the cards and he felt like he killed someone. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was a way they could collect the cards in a safe way to keep others from being hurt.
Spar's not shooting that low. Spar is like, if you can give me a gun to shoot the goddess, I want it, right? Like, aim high and then settle downward is where he's coming from.
Yeah. Okay.
I could allow you to physically harm manifestations of Providence and Pandemonium. I don't know where they are exactly, but I could give you the means that if you were to face them, to harm them.
What's the cost?
A game of which I cannot tell you the rules. You must agree to it, and then we will begin.
Do we both have to play?
Yes.
Spar looks at Vellum.
Vellum looks at Spar.
Can you tell us this stakes of the game. What happens? What would happen if the game doesn't go our way?
You won't die. You will, if that's what you're worried about. Or you won't be harmed, I should say. But it's all or nothing. You win the game, you get my assistance. A ability for a mortal to harm a god. That's a big prize. If you lose the game, you get nothing. I'm gone.
Does it harm you? Are you gone? Gone or just...
No.
Okay.
Maybe bored, but not gone.
I've got actually many friends in Vasa Obscura who would be quite upset if you were gone. And Spar is acutely aware of the fact that in Vasa Obscura, he goes by the name Gambler. He is. Definitely. You know, he knew taking that name was cocky, but he didn't intend for it to be that kind of cocky.
Yeah, they laugh and say, you know, your parent popularized me down there.
I thought you were going to say, you know, there's a few people in Vasa Obscura who would be sad if you were gone too.
Oh.
In reference to Spar as gambler in Vasa Obscura.
Spar goes, I guess it was really just practice for being an avatar all this time. All right, I'm in. Vellum?
We come as a pair.
All right.
What's Harrington up to? And did he turn around when Spar said Vellum? Like, is he just chill? Does he see Gambler? What's going on?
Harrington is... That's a good question. I think Harrington is watching in, like, considerable awe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're very overwhelmed and very curious. But now they officially think that... Vellum is them from the future and is like, I shouldn't mess with the timeline by interacting too much. So I'm just sort of watching.
But they can see Gambler too.
Correct. It's very clear that both Merafina and Harrington are like watching what's happening up here.
Sure.
Okay. Good.
The Gambler says, all right, let's begin. Good afternoon, morning, or evening. My name is Jordan Quiverns, and I'm the GM of this podcast and the host and the wingman. My pronouns are they and them, and I play most of the characters on this here podcast who use all sorts of pronouns. You can find me on the internet at Blue Sky at Jordan Quiverns. And you can also find me more actively on our Discord, the Three Hearts Cast. That's not what it's called. It's called Many of Hearts, and the link's in the description. It is a fan-run Discord, but we are very active in there. And that's sort of my thing.
Do you have a fact about the world or an NPC?
Yes, I sure do. Which is that I think the thing that Ela said about what the Gambler should have said was really good, and I wish that I thought of it. It's a fact about me, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, it's very sweet, but I don't know if it's Gambler's vibe to go for.
Yeah,
the, like,
it's definitely not. That's true.
They were kind of in a ribbing moment of.
Yeah. I have a better fact than that, which is that Harrington. Not only do they think that Vellum is them from the future, but because they don't physically have. the disability that Vellum does, the leg, they are very like concerned about what's going to happen to them in the future that's going to cause them to get a leg injury.
And the facial scars as well.
Yeah, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they would see themselves with the facial scar, but they don't physically have the leg injury, so they don't have that.
Oh, they do? Okay. They do have the facial scar, though?
Well, they...
In their mind's version of what they look like?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's me.
So that's interesting to know that.
Yeah, that's
their. Okay.
That's a little teaser, I guess, about what's maybe some rules of what's going on here.
All right. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I take notes and sometimes make funny noises while I take them. I play Merim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns and is not above leveraging his family name when it will get him somewhere to complete a mission. Anathema to mention it in any sort of social context, which is why he goes by Spar. But, you know, honestly, if it helps people from the past get his sister back, then fuck it. Yeah, he is Merim Felspar. And how can he help you?
Mm-hmm. That's valid. I mean, he should get some good out of that. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. 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 I'm trying to think of like Spar related facts that I haven't already mentioned. Have I said on mic about his holster?
I don't think so.
All right. So my Spar fact for this week episode, there it is. I'm on day two of like weird migraine times, so the words don't always come out in the right order.
I feel ya.
Yeah. My Spar fact for this episode is that the holster for his gun is made out of the same leather that his parent Felix, that their quiver was made out of, because they were an archer. Mm. And so both of his weapons are in that way inherited from his parents. He wanted to carry something of Felix's.
I like it.
Also, since this is no longer in Spar feelings time, but since Jordan started to say that the Discord is Three Hearts Cast, if you are on Tumblr, which you can find me on Tumblr if you're that kind of freak, if you do want to tag us in things, our tag on all social medias is Three Hearts Cast. That helps us stand out from other things. So if you do want to, I guess if Twitter is extant, if you're on Tumblr, Instagram, maybe we are everywhere. We are hashtag Three Hearts Cast. Thank you.
Our Twitter theoretically exists, but it does not get used.
Hmm. And people can tag us in their blurbo posts. Their blurbo posts.
I mean, I tag us in my blurbo posts. I'm going to be real. I also have a Sparkor tag. And I think that, like, uh-huh, this is Merim Felspar tag.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum and also Agent Ace Harland, who might be making an appearance in this recording. I'm not sure. We'll find out. If not, you should listen to the recently released B-Team episode, which you should definitely check out. It's possibly our funniest episode yet.
It fucking rules.
It's great. I use he and they pronouns, as does Vellum. Ace uses any pronouns. Agent Vellum fact for this episode. Anytime that Vellum visits his parents' grave, he will sit down and have a chat with them. He'll fill them in on what he's been up to since his last visit. And he usually brings a couple offerings as well. I think he brings apple cider for his mother and matcha tea for his Oya and some fresh fruits and whatnot too. And it's something that is not meant to be like a sort of melancholy experience. It's more of a story time, and you know, there's this sense of whether reincarnation exists in this world or not. There definitely seems to be connections that last longer than life, and so he feels connected to his parents still. And he wants to let them know what he's up to.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's get back to the episode. Thank you. everything goes black. And you both hear the gambler say, I have two dice. Find them. And Spar, can you describe your apartment in Fossinatura?
Yeah, I've in the past described his apartment as sparse in terms of like he feels a previous age. In fact, he feels at home in hotel rooms, right? That because right. He's a very like almost Spartan. But the exception to that is he has collected every piece of merch and every poster from every one of Kurt's wrestling matches.
That's so cute. Yes.
And so those are like professionally framed, hung on his wall. But yeah, otherwise he has like some pictures of like family and him and Anya on side tables, pictures of his aunts, of course, pictures of him and Sorrel.
Aw.
And it's not very big. I think it's probably just like a little bitty one bedroom, like smallish kitchen, pretty clean, sparse living area, bedroom that's like bed, dresser, very, very like
sword.
Well, the sword's everywhere. Yeah. He probably has like a stand for it somewhere in the apartment, come to think.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, very like masculine minimalist.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So, Vellum, you wake up in that room.
Oh, okay. He looks around. He calls out for Spar. Does he hear anybody answer?
No, but you do hear some activity coming from the kitchen.
He'll go in the kitchen.
Okay. In the kitchen, you see Tatiana.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just in a bra and underwear, and she is making waffles.
Of course she is.
Very important question. And I love to say this because, as I noted, editing our last side shot, I tend to say very important question before things like, is Cade when peeing? did she bring her own waffle maker? Because
correct, yes.
Yes, because Spar does not own one.
Yeah. I was thinking that as I was saying it. Perfect. She definitely has her own.
Yep.
It's like a pastel, like a turquoise kind of waffle maker. Mm-hmm. It's very cutesy.
Mm-hmm.
Vellum looks down. What is he wearing?
Boxers, and also you do not have your regular skin. In fact, it looks like you might be have some sparse skin.
Your skin might be darker. You might be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no lingering pain from his leg. He doesn't need a cane to walk.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All
does
that.
Does he have any weird magic tinnitus or anything?
Yeah, you can definitely hear a strange ringing in your ear as cool. It gets louder as you approach Tatiana.
Cool, cool, cool.
Your back probably hurts like shit, and your arms are probably sore just while we're at it. Almost certainly you're bruised somewhere. Your head probably hurts. Like, you're not having a good time in this body, but your legs work. So, you know, like...
You know, you take what you get.
You win some, you lose some.
Uh-huh.
Tatiana's like, are you okay? I was about to bring you these waffles.
I'm fine. Yep.
Okay. Are you okay? You're acting kind of weird.
You know, last night, and he just kind of shrugs.
And she's like, yeah, that's true. So she's just like, kind of like, she just gets back to making waffles.
They smell great.
Thanks. Are you going to like, you were getting ready, right? Like you have to go to work soon?
Right. Work. I should do that. He goes back to get dressed.
I'm flipping for Tatiana. She only got one success to determine, like, what the fuck is happening here. And so she just, like, she's too in her own world to be, like, that weirded out by this.
And also, I said I'm fine. So, you know, I'm
perfectly
in character.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vellum is trying not to panic.
Okay, so you as you're getting ready.
Oh, I have a question. I don't know if Vellum would think of this, but he might if he woke up in Spar's body. Is his scar on his chest, is it like old and faded and subtle like it used to be before the start of this show? Or is it like raised and okay.
It's not raised. It's faint and subtle. So, yeah, Vellum, as you're getting ready. Oh, wait, no, this is too good. Can you flip wit investigation to see how quickly you can get ready in Spar's room?
Okay. Wit is 3. Investigation is 2. One for healthy, one for eclectic. And do I get to use body and mind?
Yeah, sure.
Whew. Let's see. We got a queen of spades, an ace, and a queen of hearts.
Wow. How many successes is that?
5.
Wow. So, I mean, you've seen, like, you've been on the road with Spar, right? You've seen him in a hotel room. You've seen him in his room. Like, you've probably seen, like, generally, like, how he gets ready and how he might store things. And so you're able to intuit where clothes are located, like, pretty quickly and get yourself dressed for work.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think necessarily that Spar is this kind of persnickety, but it's, he's very, in like, certain parts of his life, he's, like, very straightened, right? Like, one thing that sometimes fans joke about is, like, Spar not doing his paperwork. He always does it exactly on time, exactly to the letter correctly. In the same way, if you open a drawer, his like underwear's on the left, socks are on the right, in exactly the same layout as any drawer you've been in while you've been on the road. It is like picture perfect, identical, always the same layout.
People do give us a Spar a hard time for that, but I want to say that tracks totally. Like, that makes so much sense to me. I think he's I think he's definitely organized. Yeah, so you're able to get dressed, and then there you hear a car like laying on the horn outside.
Ah, shit, that's probably Ishbala.
I want to say the impressive part of all those successes, though, is figuring out the entire strap situation for the gun holster and the sword harness. That's where all those successes went.
Well, he's probably taken them off before.
I was about to say, maybe he's had a little bit of experience with it now. With helping Spar take it off or put it back on.
Take it off, definitely. I don't know if put it back on, but like putting it on yourself is backwards. Like if you've ever tried to braid somebody else's hair versus braiding your own.
Yeah.
So I think that's where Vellum's like, or Vellum's investigation skills kick in. He's like, all right, he is rotating Spar in his mind.
Yes. Question. Is the sword Ghost
yeah, it's
sword.
Not. It's like when you met Spar. It's not a moonlight sword.
Cool.
Yep.
He'll go back. Is Tati still in the kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah. So she now has waffles. How does Spar like his waffles?
What are my options here? How do people take their waffles?
Some people do like just butter and syrup. Some people do like a jam or something. So like, I mean, what's
fresh fruit?
I think he doesn't really care what's on top of them as long as there's coffee.
Okay. So you get butter, syrup, and coffee.
And Ishbala is waiting outside, assumedly.
Correct. Yeah.
Waffles aren't, especially if there's syrup involved, aren't really good travel food. And we've already established that, like, Spar like basically goes horizontal when there's driving involved.
Well, hover cars. Car cars, he's fine, which you would know from being in the van. And also because he and Ishbala have talked about driving. It's the lifting off the ground he can't deal with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you've definitely seen Spar like pick up a plate, cut something into like 4 parts with the edge of a fork, just shove it in his mouth like as he is moving. So you at least know the body is capable of that.
Yeah, that's very much what I imagined. Yeah, let's find out if Vellum is capable of that with a brawn biology or agility biology.
Okay, this will be body and mind again. So agility is 1, and biology is 4. One for healthy, one for eclectic, two for body and mind. That is a jack. Oh, two, three jacks and a king. So that is four successes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you're able to scarf it down. You feel the felspar, the spar flowing through you.
I lean over and give Tati a peck on the cheek and I scoot out the door.
All right. Tatiana says, I love you. Bye.
See you later.
Thank God.
Yeah. I was so wondering what would happen there.
Very, very distantly, you think that you would hear Spar say, don't encourage her.
Also, wait, Tatiana pokes her head like out the door, like not dressed still. And is like, wait, are we still on for Honey Core tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you then. Bye. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
That was so stressful for me.
All right, you get down your apartment building and you get to outside where
we were getting dressed and everything, did Vellum find a dye or anything?
No.
Okay, I didn't figure, but he will have looked.
Yeah.
Since that was what the job was.
Valid. Okay. So you get down there and Ishbala is waiting in her car, which is not a 2013 Honda Odyssey. It's a very like an old bug, I think, of some kind. And okay. I'm not a car person, but Ishbala is. And
you got to give her something sexy. You can't stick her with a bug, okay. Please.
You're right.
My giant
wife.
Well,
then you tell me. tell me what she's driving.
All right. To Google. 1950s muscle car.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's like a T-Bird.
What's this hot red and white number? That's nice. We got an Oldsmobile 1949 Rocket 88. That's sexy. A Chevy Bel Air V8 from 55. That's a little late. That's the 60s. Yeah. How about this? How about this hot green number? It's the first one on the I'm about to send you. Or here, can I? Yeah. Let me just copy the image and drop it in Discord.
Thank you. Oh, that's great.
Right.
So there's no roof. It's very a little blocky.
It's a very crocodile kind of color.
It's very crocodile in color. It matches Ishbala.
It has a little bit of the Gotham from the Batman animated series vibe of being a little art deco in the lines, but kind of blocky.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. That's so accurate. All right. So she's leaning up the car and she's like, what's the holdup?
You would not believe me if I told you. Let's go.
Get in the car and she starts heading to work. And I gotta say, she definitely does not care about getting to work on time that strongly. And I think we know that Spar also may not care about getting to work on time that strongly if you look at the first episode of the show. But she does care about getting to her favorite breakfast place to pick up her breakfast before a long line forms.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dog Detective. Our mid-tro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/3heartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
You guys head out to a diner where Ishbala, every morning they know, every weekday morning they know to just like have her meal prepared for her.
What does Ishbala get?
Ooh, I think it's definitely very meat heavy.
Mm-hmm.
An omelet that is like more meat than egg.
Mm-hmm.